Lucas and Judah join you guys? All right, just follow them. So Drew was the youth leader and I was the associate pastor, and we were colleagues. We got along fine and everything, and then they went and started this ministry, the Jesus Generation. And a couple of years ago, I get this phone call, and he's like, "Pastor Joel, can I pick your brain a little bit?" And that one phone call turned into monthly phone calls, and we just started this. It's 4 years now? Wow. We just started this relationship where, we just touch base once a month, and, sometimes Drew wants to pick my brain. Sometimes he's encouraging me. But we have just developed a wonderful relationship in just sharing life together and sharing Jesus. And I'm so glad because, there's some people, I have my own ministry, I have my own anointing, but Drew's got something that I don't have. That zeal, that fire that he has, and just the way he just kind of splashes on everybody, I was just saying last week when I was teaching on the fruit of the Spirit that I need more joy. I need to smile more. Well, this is one of these guys that helps me smile more. So, Drew, why don't you come on up and share what Jesus has put on your heart. Lord, I thank you for my brother, Drew. And I pray, Lord, that as he opens his mouth, Lord, that you would fill it. And I pray, Lord, that the love of Jesus, that wonderful deposit that you've placed on him, Lord, would spill on all of us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. You guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Awesome. It is such a joy and an honor to be with y'all. I know we were here last year, it's so good to have seen Dave and Vicky again yesterday, Alan. We had some of the Hopewell faithfuls in the building. It's so good to see this guy smiling right here, my man Steve. And I just love what Pat carries. Can we just honor her for the worship she carries in the house? Her piano playing alone, made me cry this morning. I was getting so touched by the Holy Spirit. And so thank you, Pat, for what you carry and what you impart to the next generation and to this house. And I just want to honor your faithful leaders. Can we honor Pastor Joel and Carrie, guys? They're such an amazing couple, leaders. Honor and value is a part of the kingdom, right? So, get used to it, because the Father is always honoring and valuing the Son, Jesus, and I believe it's going to probably splash over on us. That's why we receive crowns in heaven, but we lay them down at his feet. I grew up in Pennsylvania, so it's so good to be back here in southeastern Pennsylvania. I had the privilege of growing up in a little small town called Chalfont, Pennsylvania, in Bucks County. And it was during those years of my life that I was a Catholic who had a religious relationship with God, in that I went to St. Jude's Church every Sunday, as long as I was in Chalfont. But unfortunately for my family and I, we never knew him. We never knew him. I believe all those years I was going there, I wasn't born again. The Spirit of God did not come and live in me. And the enemy went after that religion to test our family, to see how much this religion would stand. And let me just tell you what happens to that religion. It It was obliterated by the enemy. Like ants coming into a summer kitchen. Funny way of putting it, the enemy came into our house. And he sought to destroy everything that God had purposed and created as a family. Everything that he purposed and created for us to be in love. And everything that he created and purposed for us as a family in his love to be in Jesus. And see, religion won't stand. It won't hold you. It'll give you some steps. It'll give you some steps so you know what to do. But religion can never lead you to who you are. You can only find who you are by looking, knowing, and discovering who he is. And I still remember the sweet seeds. The sweet seeds for me that Catholicism planted in my heart that blossomed after the Holy Spirit came in. My dad was a born-again Catholic. He got it. And so I want you to understand, Catholicism is still under the umbrella of Christianity, but for me, growing up, I didn't get it. And by it, I mean him. I saw him, but I didn't know him. And I'm so thankful that in our darkest moments, when everything seemed to be falling apart in my life and my family, God was always there. And he showed himself strong in the midst of great darkness. He revealed himself, and behold, there was a great light. And though the enemy took out my dad with a heart attack at 54 and I was 18 and thrusted through temptation my life and my brother's lives into addiction, selfish pursuit, pleasureful living. Think everything in the world that they offer to kids nowadays. And at Central Bucks West, I ate all of it. But while I was still a far ways off, there was a father who never lost sight of what he created me for. He never lost sight of what he created you for. He never left you, not for one moment, not for one second. And his love towards you never changed. The pursuit of his love never wavered. And that love showed me, and it's proof today, that love did not fail. It broke through. So guys, I have the honor and the privilege of just speaking to you this morning the great, awesome message of Jesus Christ. What God has done, what he has purposed. And I just really want to share it with you in the very simplest, purest, fullest, clearest invitation that I could give you from the Lord, not to be born again and saved, but now that you're born again and saved, where do you go? How should you live? Who should you be with? And what's the why of our life? What's the why here? And so I just want to pray with us really briefly, and then I just want to dive right in here if we could. You guys doing all right this morning? I usually like to preach with a soaking track, but I didn't get to do that this morning. It's more for you, actually, than it is for me. But let's pray, y'all. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the reality of the cross. We thank you for the reality of the resurrection. We thank you for the reality that you're not only God with us, you're now God in us. Because you, Father, were faithful in sending the Holy Spirit. Jesus, you were faithful in crucifying on the cross us. Everything we were not, you crucified and you nailed to the tree. So that everything we are Everything will ever will be. It's found in this new man and woman that's you and me, God. It's us in you. It's we in the Father. And so, Jesus, I thank you that for everyone in this room, we have a story. We have a testimony where we overcome now because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony through our life. And we're no longer living for ourselves, but we are living for the love of God, and we're laying it down, even unto death if necessary. And so, Lord, I thank you for the word and the Spirit today. Holy Spirit, please meet us where we need to be met, in our minds, in our hearts, in our lives. Reign over our soul. And I thank you, God, your word is holy. It's God-breathed. It's enough to divide joint and marrow, soul and spirit. So we come to you this morning, we sit at the Father's table together, and we're here to commune and dine with you. I thank you that everyone in this room, and everyone on the live stream has a seat at the Father's table that only they can sit in. And so we give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, y'all. So I don't know if we can get the screens up here. Yeah. Guys, very simple. Everyone say, the treasures of eternal life. Are these three things? Jesus, love, and family. Guys, these are the three things that you have now in Jesus, that you now have in God, that if you spend your time investing in Jesus and that relationship and knowing him and being known by him, if you invest your life in his love, being loved and becoming love, and if you invest your life with Jesus in loving the family of God, it will be the fruit that lasts forever. I would argue that it's only in these three things that you can take with you from earth into eternity. Everything in your life, the fruit of God, the only thing that will remain at the end of the day is the life you had in Jesus, the history you had, and the fruit that God created through his love. And everything that was done from him for family. And that should really wake us up every day in the morning to say, what is the priority of my life? What is the priority of my day? How am I going to, Jesus, how am I going to live this life? Adam was born on June 23rd, 1996. And maybe, just maybe, he lives to be 120 years old. But you know what? I'll take 99 and burning with his last breath. So in the year 2095, there's Adam burning with his last breath. And when he looks back on his life, he's going to see God's goodness and his mercy. He's going to see God's grace in all the life that he lived in Jesus, that he lived and loved, and he lived in family. And that is going to be the fruit. That is going to be the judgment of his life in heaven. Not counted against him, but that would count for him. This is the coin that God wants us to invest in, knowing that if we invest in Jesus, we invest in living and growing and knowing and being and becoming his love, that everything that God does is from family, through family, for family. And when we get to the end of our lives, I'm talking more than just Adam's physical family. And generational offspring. I'm talking about his spiritual family, the church. Us. We are the family, the household of God. And I just want to share this with you and ask you this question. I pray that we wake up and we ask God, God, how should I live my life this day? This week? This year? All my days. What is my priority? What is the heartbeat behind who I am, where I am, who I'm with, where I'm going, and what I'm doing? And I just want to share this with you here briefly. It's amazing to find this out, but we'll read this in John chapter 6, that Jesus says, do not labor, work for the food which perishes, which you eat today and it's gone tomorrow, but labor for the food which endures, which means lasts, to eternal life or everlasting life, which the Son of Man, Jesus, will give you, because the Father has set the seal of God on him, because the Father received what he did on the cross. And now we share in the inheritance, in the life, in the love, in the family of Father, Spirit, and Son. Here's a cool fact. I don't know if anyone knows this. On average, a man or woman will spend 37 billion seconds or 36.8 million minutes or 613,000 hours or, let's just break it down to things we can understand, 25,550 days of their life doing something with someone somewhere. Some live a little bit less than 25,500 days. Some live, praise God, more than that. But nonetheless, we have days that have been ordained for us, good works, for God to work out through our lives. That is our story in his story. It's us in history. And that history is unlike anything else in eternity. If your life was a grain of sand, and that grain of sand represented 120 years, if anyone gets more than 120 years, I repent, but man, if you lived 120 years old, God bless you. I think you're the oldest human in modern day history. But that 120 years is one grain of sand and in a beach of eternity of sand. But yet God has made this grain of sand very different than the rest of the sand in the beaches of eternity. There's something he wants us to discover. There's something he wants us to choose. There's a life that he gave and that he gives that is being played out right here, right now. Alan, how old are you?
69 and 10 months.
Stephanie, how old are you?
26.
Adam.
27.
Carrie. 29. Debbie. Steve.
64.
Skylar. 19. Is there anyone younger than 19 right here in this room? Let's hear it for Skylar, guys. Let's honor Skylar. He's 19 years old. Who's the oldest in here? Who is there anyone older than 80? Raise your hand. Is there anyone older than 85? Okay. Can we hear it for this awesome gentleman who's lived an amazing life? Keep going, sir. What am I trying to say is, guys, we... over the course of our life, it's believed that we will meet 80,000 new people interactions. And some of those people will meet for the first time today. Do you know what that is? That equivalates to 3 new people interactions a day. 20 new interactions a week, 84 new interactions a month, and 1,100 new interactions this year. You're like, where is he going with this? I know he's trying to talk with me about sharing the love of Jesus to new people. I'm not. Let me give you the back end statistic. It's great you're going to meet all these new people. 1,100 new people you're going to meet this year. But did you know that it's believed that you will interact with someone you know 3 to 12 times today for as long as you're alive? That's almost 4 times daily the interactions you'll have with any new person. Think about that. God has you engaging. Steve and Pat are engaging as husband and wife in the house at 12 separate moments of interaction. It could be like, Steve, you forgot to take out the trash again. Or, Steve, you're such a handsome man at the age of 50, 60. I'm so happy I'm married to this handsome man. I don't know what the interaction's going to be, but it's gonna glorify God. What I'm trying to say, guys, is that in the ballpark of 84 human interactions a week that you know, 364 times a month, 4,360 times a year, that's nearly 340 to 50,000 times that you will interact with someone you know over the course of your life. 4 times the interactions of you meeting any new person. Family must matter to God. Community must matter to God. There was something that he must have loved that he was willing to give to bring us back into the community and the family and the life that he loved before he said, "Let there be light." Carrie said it the other day, it was a really good point. God wanted a family. And so he said, "Let there be you." God wanted a family. And so pull up John chapter 3 here. We read this and we so often pass by this, but in this is hidden the treasure of eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, that whosoever shall believe in him shall never die or not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son in the world to condemn the world, no, but to save the world through Jesus. And Jesus tells us in John 17 what eternal life is. He says, eternal life is this, that you would know, intimately know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Why? Because to all who received Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God in his family. Children not born of a natural descent, human decision, a husband's will, born of God. See the treasure that God gives us in this eternal knowing of him is he positions us as sons and daughters in Jesus, in love, in a family. And yet he calls that family the church. We are an extension of the Father, the Spirit, and the Son, and there's us. That is what heaven is. Heaven is living in Jesus, in love, in the Father, Spirit, Son, as his family. Sons and daughters in the Son. And so we're here, guys. We're here in the natural. We're not in, we are hidden in heavenly places, but we're here right now. We have decisions. Some of you might be thinking, am I eating at Qdoba today or Jersey Mike's? Go Jersey Mike's. Please, do yourself a favor. You might be saying, am I going home and taking a nap, or are me and my family taking a stroll out on this beautiful day? Do yourself a favor. Take a nap and then go take the walk. You might be asking yourself, God, how can I walk with you more? How can I grow with you more? How can I know you more? And there is a place for you to know him in the closet, in the secret place when no one's looking and no one's around. But it's interesting that he doesn't say, stay there. He says, arise, let us go from there. Go from here. And so he goes with you in your car when you travel to work. He sits with you on your couch as you listen to your mother and father-in-law just share their life. And he's in you so that you can listen and see and experience and love them in a way that is not of your own flesh, not of your own self, but through him. You're getting caught up with Grammy talking about her spoon collection in Jesus, and you're having the time of your life. You're having the time of your life. You know what? And God's being glorified. Why? Because you're actually valuing what he values. That's why life starts at conception. He values the very moment that let there be life. For the first time, that life, that clock starts here. And that clock, and that person, and that breath, and that heartbeat, there he is. And so the love story has started for that individual. And yet 2,000 years ago, he paid for it all. And he's waiting in the natural to come, breaking through the darkness and shining forth his life and breathing on them his spirit and bringing them out of selfishness into selfless love. Out of condition-based living into unconditional grace and love. And so we have to realize that if God, from the garden in Genesis to the garden in Revelation, showed us that one thing was clear, there was this one big priority, and that priority was for him to be with us, to be in us, for us to be in him. God is love, to be in love, to be in Jesus, and to be in family. If I was an investor in spiritual things that matter, if I was an investor in this life, an advisor to you who was, you know, Warren Buffett and Jesus, and I wanted to tell you how to get rich like me, because I know Jesus, he's the richest man ever, and I followed his tutelage. I'm actually just under him. If I could give you some investing advice, is that you live your life every breath of every day, intimately receiving, intimately pursuing, intimately believing, communing, knowing Jesus. And from that place, allowing him who is love to grow you in love. So that wherever you go, you become love. And I pray that we wouldn't, not there's anything wrong with the pursuits, like I have a desire to climb Mount Everest. Praise God. Do it with Jesus. And make sure you, when you run into the climbers who are up there with you and they're freezing, you give them the best blanket they can have. Hey, Jesus loves you. Let me give you blankets and hand warmers I have not, but what I do have, I give you. I give you in the name of Jesus. Whatever you do, wherever you go, there is a certain amount of time in your day that is preparing you for eternity. So do not labor for the food that perishes, but rather the food that endures until eternal life. And it's Him. It's His love. And it's His family. Guys, I'm so thankful that we were created from a relationship of Father, Spirit, and Son. Through this relationship, let us make man in our image. And that God said, it's not good now that man's alone. But He wasn't alone. He had Father, Spirit, Son. Yet God wanted to continue the multiplication of this family. So He brought Eve equally into the picture. So this equally valuable man and woman could share with the Godhead in a oneness of flesh. And God says, yeah, that's our image. And from that, life, life, life. There is no life created apart from intimacy with God. And so I pray that first and foremost, guys, that you'd understand that God's will and primary call for your lives is to live with Him intimately every breath of every day, walking, talking, laughing, crying, sleeping, jogging, whatever your forte is with Him in love, knowing you're a beloved child of God, that being with Jesus and being in a relationship of just communion and life and love with Him and being in His family is the calling and assignment for your life. It is the treasure of eternal life. There's nothing greater God can give you. There's no greater place you can ascend in God than in Jesus and in His family, than in His love. And so we see from the first garden, God walked with them in the cool of the day, and we see in the last garden, right? He becomes the dwelling place of men and women. There's no more crying or pain. The older things have passed away. And He has His family back. He knows how to take you from where you've been. And He knows how to take you to where you're going. We can trust Him. We can build our life on Him. We can receive all that we need for food in the natural, supernaturally from Him. Why? Because you're going through a life each and every day with the people that you're around, the community that you're in, that God is expanding His garden. And He says this, "Behold, I'm making all things new." This is the first time that I'm aware of that I'm standing here staring at your wonderful faces. This awesome house of God. This is the first time I'm here with these ripped jeans, with this awesome microphone, with this smile on, my hands up in the air at this very second, at this very minute, in this very hour. This is happening, guys. It's new. This is new. And so, behold, He's making all things new. Your story is not the trauma. It's not the destruction. It's not the killing and the stealing of what the enemy has done in your life. It's the redemption that God is doing each and every breath of every day now that you're in Jesus Christ. You don't have to live looking at the shadows. You get to walk in the light as He is in the light. You don't have to go through life on your own, shackled to sin, in bondage to the enemy. No, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And you get to walk in a newness of life. Or should I say it like this? Jesus gets to walk in a newness of life here on the earth as He sits in the heavenly realm, Lord of lords and kings of kings. And yet He's allowing a partnership, a marriage, a union with you and Him to live His life through your story. And so you matter. You were created for Jesus. You must matter. You were created for love. Sir, you must matter. You were created for family, Alan. That must matter. And if that's what you were created for, and that's what God gave to you, then that's what he's called us to give to the world. To bring many people out of darkness into the kingdom of the Son he loves. To, as it says in Hebrews, to bring many sons and daughters to glory, to the Father. And so just pull up that first, yeah. What time we land in the plane here, Pastor Joel? You gotcha. We're going to cruise through this really quickly. Point one. Yeah, awesome. You guys are the best. Guys, the greatest gift that God has given us is eternal life. And the greatest gift of eternal life that he's given us, it's Jesus. He is the doorway in. And yet he is the experience of the entire kingdom. You know, he's going on the cruise ship. He is the way into the ship, the door into the ship. He is the ship, and he's the adventure and all the memories. Everything is happening in and through Jesus. I hope you enjoy the cruise of your life. And when you see people alongside that cruise ship in boats, desperately needing a rescue, with Jesus, you dive off that cruise ship into the waters and reach down with them and bring them aboard. Because that's what Jesus does. And that's who Jesus is. Therefore, that's who we now are in him. John 6 tells us this beautiful picture that we should build our lives from a knowing him and a bringing others into him. It says it like this. After the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus starts off by kind of rebuking a crowd that was looking for him for the wrong reasons. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And Jesus said, "You know what? Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. You saw me multiply fish and food, and you're hungry again, and you just want me to multiply more food for your belly." But he says, "I got something better for you. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures, lasts to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." And then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" And Jesus said, "This is what you must do. You must believe in him whom he has sent." And some wild person shouted out, you know, and said, "But our, you know, Abraham gave, you know, Moses gave us manna from heaven." He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. It was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread is me, he, who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." I'm going to stop there. You lack no thing. There's times where we feel like we lack this or that. Jesus says, "I am the bread from heaven. I am the bread of your life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall not thirst." I overcame a 7-year drug addiction, not by a certain amount of steps or toughening up. My diet changed. And I started eating the bread of life. And I no longer hungered for the things of the world. And it no longer had a thirst on me. And now it's been 16 years later. And I haven't had a thirst or a hunger for any drugs or anything other than Jesus. Hallelujah. Only God. Only God. And that can go for different things in your life. I can thirst and hunger for success. I can hunger and thirst to be liked. I can hunger and thirst to achieve this or to be famous for that. But you know what? Those hungers and thirsts die when you wake up in Jesus and say, I am all yours and you are all mine. I have everything I could ever want or need in this family with you, Father, with you, Jesus, and with you, Holy Spirit. And you're so good to me that you've given me a daughter that I get to wake up next to every day. And I get to love her with you, Jesus. You've given me two precious boys who I never would have if it wasn't for being yours. Stephanie was raised Christian. She would never have married a heathen. Lord, I would never put her through that. I probably wouldn't choose her either. I'd be like, I'm going to fail this. No, but the day I got to choose Stephanie and went back even further, it's because God chose me. And I remember the day that I got to choose him. Because I chose him, he allowed me the opportunity that with him and through him, he would give me a family. He'd give me a wife that I'd get to lay down my life in love and experience God in this way. And that through this intimacy with Jesus, that I'd get to, with Stephanie, see a boy named Lucas and a son named Judah, who are so different. But who's my favorite son, and my favorite son, and his favorite son. And with the Father, I get to each and every day lay down my life and give them the best that Jesus wants to give. I give them my firsts, not my leftovers. My sons get my best. And everyone else gets the rest, but it's an overflow. It's like a sink that's poured in a cup, and it's good too. It's not stagnant water. So we realize that Jesus says, guys, you're pursuing the wrong things. You're consuming the wrong things. You want the wrong things. Let me tell you what you really need. It's me, and I'm going to give you myself freely. Eat from me. Be intimately acquainted with me. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise them up on the last day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's a promise in Scripture that I'm not going to get lost. He's going to keep me until the last day. The Holy Spirit in me is going to keep me. And he really does. The Scripture really does say he abides in me forever. Thank God I can't be like, get out on my worst day. But that God on my worst day says, son, come in. Come in. Come here. There you are. Guys, the true bread of heaven, the treasure of heaven, the fruit that remains, it's him. It's him. It's his person. It's his life in you, with you, overflowing in you and through you, towards you and from you, every breath of every day to everyone. It's the best adventure. It never gets old. I'm always so blown away where God and his wind has us going each and every day. There's no mundane day in Jesus. Every day's new. He's there. You get to know him afresh. What I love about the picture of manna is, do you remember in manna, were they able to collect it and have it many days later? No. They had to collect it each morning. Fresh bread. Jesus is fresh bread for you every moment of your life. Fresh bread. And he goes on to say this, by the grace of God in 1 Corinthians 3, God has given me and laid a foundation as a wise builder. And yet now someone else is building on it, Paul says. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid by Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or stubble, straw, their work will be shown for what it is. And on that day, it will be brought to the light. And when revealed with fire, the fire will test the quality of everyone's life and work. If it was built to survive, the builders will receive a reward. If it is not, it will be burned up. The builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved. Guys, there's things in our lives, pursuits in our lives, that God is with us while we do it. But if we aren't doing it from a place of abiding, living, staying connected in Him, with Him, through Him, and for Him, it's wood, hay, and stubble, guys. If I desire to write a New Testament commentary, and I want to do that because secretly I want to be known as the guy in history that has the best, I mean the best, New Testament commentary that you can get for the small price of $499 in payments that you can make for the next 3 years because it's that good. And let's say it transforms so many lives. God will still receive the glory and the fruit, but on that day when they're looking over the reward, they're like, okay, you said to your son, you are a beloved son. Man, that was awesome. Give him 50 crowns for that one. That was really good. That time you helped that old lady cross the street, told her Jesus loves her. Give him another 50. And I said, we get through the list, and I said, where's the New Testament commentary? Well, it's not on here. Didn't make it. Well, what do you mean? I said, I was known. I was the guy. I was the New Testament commentary guy. That's who, they built a statue of me with the New Testament commentary. Like, that's me. That's me. You telling me that didn't make it on the list? And they said, you know what, son? It didn't. I'm sorry. But you know what? Look at all the fruit of Jesus. Look at all the fruit of love. look at all the fruit for the family. Oh, by the way, God did use that work. And it touched a lot of people. But it was not accredited to you. See, because God can take anything and turn it for good. And so what I'm saying in our life is, it's not that we, you know, get really weird with, God, am I doing this with the right heart? I'm not saying that, guys. I'm saying that this is the hour. Now is the time to really ask ourselves, what is the priority of the remaining time I have here on earth? How am I going to spend it, build it, grow it, give it with you, Jesus? How am I going to let you expand this garden in love and allowing me to become love? How am I going to allow you to prune the branches so that it can produce what you want and what you love? And God, how can I be spending my time so it's just not me on my own, just me, you, and me and you, Jesus, on my own, but how I can actually be positioned in these relationships. You tell me I touch 340,000 people in my life that I know, and Lord, I want to make sure we're doing it in a way where I'm laying down my life in love to love those people through you. I want to make sure those moments count. So therefore, the priority of your life shifts, because then you realize it's not just the greatest gift to have Jesus, but it's the greatest gift, second point, to be in His love. That God would give you an opportunity to be in love with Him and through Him to become love to the world. That's why you're there. Do you know in heaven, everybody's love. No one has to try. No one has to give it. We are it, but I don't think it will require effort. It just is. No one messes up. No one's hurt or offended. There's no division or strife. There's perfect love And it left fear on the outside of those walls. It left shame and guilt and condemnation on the outside of those walls. It can't come into God in the kingdom. But we are in a place where we're tested and we're like, man, it's hot here in Florida. Man, it's muggy. Woo! Man, it's freezing here in Michigan. I can't go through the winters. Oh, another 4 feet of snow. Lord, save me. Not another day working at this job. Lord, you know I'm called to this. Why am I here? God, my household is just being attacked from all arms. God, I can't deal with it. I can't deal with my marriage. I can't deal with my kids. Deliver me or just take me home to heaven. Luckily, that's not my story, but you know what? It's sad that there's many in the church who the enemy whispers in their ear, and that's what they profess and believe in their heart and their mouth. And you know what? Things won't get better until we come back to the foot of the cross and we say, God, as I received you, so I'm going to walk in you. I brought nothing. I came here and I looked to you and believed and I said, I need you to save me. I need you to forgive me and I want your life to come in me and I want to give my life to you and receive you as my life. It's not my own anymore. I'm following you. And see, it's learning to just grow in this love that was bestowed on us. It says in 1 John chapter 3, we're going to wrap it up here in the next few minutes here. Behold what manner of love the Father has lavished on us, that we, say me, we should be called the children of God, his family. Beloved, now we are his children, for we know that when he is revealed, we shall be just like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope purifies themselves just as Jesus is pure. Beloved, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. For he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this love, God was manifested towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live, everyone say, through him. Yes. In this love, not that we loved God in our own strength and effort, but that he loved us. He put his life and his love in us so that we can love him and we can love each other. Beloved, it says, we love him because he first loved us. Say, he first. Yes. And so we realize that God has laid for us a foundation from which we go from living and surrendering our lives to Jesus to now giving our lives to becoming and being and transforming in love. And I guess we need to know, like, what's that all for? And so the third greatest gift that God gives us is that everything that God does in the kingdom is a relational family. Everything that God does for the kingdom is for relationship and for family. I'll put it a different way. Everything that God does on the planet, it's through his relationship and through his family. Father, Spirit, Son, and the body. Guys, the greatest gift of eternal life, it's not just Jesus. It's not just his love. It's his family. And learning to be able to celebrate, value, honor, receive, belong to, and help others belong in, and to grow and build this family is everything. Everything that God has called you to on this side of eternity. I don't have to learn to like Adam. Adam and I are very different. Does anyone know that? I try to convince Adam all the time we're very alike. It's kind of like, no, we're the same. We're very similar. It's more for him than it is for me so that he can love. No, I'm just kidding. But we're different. We're different. You might say, you know what? I loved Pastor Joel when he came up here. He was like super soft. Just really pastoral and calm. And you're like, man, I like that cup of coffee. But I might be a coffee black. I mean, like, no cream, no sugar. Some people like to drink that coffee. But you might be like, I'm a coffee with, like, three creams and, like, five scoops of sugar. I can't drink coffee black. But you know what? The Lord learns, teaches us how to appreciate the gift that is coffee. Now, I don't drink coffee. So I'm talking about the gift that is Jesus. I drink him often and daily. Guys, it's his family. And so I just want to implore you, John 17, we're bringing it home. This is going to be your homework assignment. I want you to go home today, and I want you to spend time with the Father in the Spirit and the Son. Can I give you a homework assignment? Is that too old school? Do you remember back in the days when they used to give you homework assignments? Oh, he does. Wow. I used to give homework assignments all the time at youth, and I'd be like, guys, anybody? No one? Okay. I love you anyway. Let's go. Let's move on. You know. And guys, here's the homework assignment. Everyone say John 17. The Father's heart, Jesus' heart, now my heart, for my life, eternal life, here and now, with him. Say, I'm going to read it. Oh, come on. Can we get you? You're like, this guy's controlling me. Say, I'm going to try to read it. I'm going to try to work out this week, too. So, you know, we're going to get there. We'll get there, guys. Guys, Jesus spoke. That was a funny joke. I'm sorry. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may be glorified in you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given to him. You were given by God the Father to Jesus as his gift for eternal life, as his lot and portion and inheritance. He's not going to give that gift back. He received that gift, and he loves that gift, and that gift's going to keep on giving. And this is eternal life, that they might know, intimately know, the one true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have glorified you on earth, and I finished the work which you have given me to do. Oh, Father, glorify me together with yourself, that the glory with which I had with you before the world was. And I don't pray for just my disciples. I pray for those who will believe too, and he picks up in verse 20, and we're going to end here. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe through the word, that they all may be one. Say, that we all might be one. That they all might be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I've given them. The glory of God is his life, is his love, and his family. I'm really convinced that in eternity, the angels are staring at the Godhead, and it's their relationship, this family and love, Father, Spirit, Son, Father, Spirit, Son, Father, Spirit, Son. And that is the glory of God. They are blown away by this relational family love. God is love, and they're blown away that this love, this glory is unsearchable. It has no height, it has no depth, it has no beginning, it has no end. This is glorious, the glory of God. What God put in you is his glory. The glory of God is Jesus. The glory of God is love, and the glory of God is family. I am convinced, and I believe I could prove it in a very long written out study if I really wanted to. But not today. And the glory which you gave me, I've given them that they might be one just as we are one. And I love this. I in them, you in me, that they might be perfect in one family. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them just as you have loved me. And so, guys, we discover here that all the New Testament scriptures is telling us to not look to the right or to the left, but to look to Him, to set our minds on things above, to look to the heavenly realm where Christ is seated, where your life is hidden, so that when He appears, you know, you have confidence, you know, you have eternal life, and when He appears, you will appear with Him in glory. So I just want to bring it home, guys. Last conclusion slide, if I gave you one. No conclusion slide. Pull up the first slide for me, just the intro. Guys, did you get something today? You might say, man, that was milk. Others might be like, man, there's some meat there. Guys, this word that God has hidden in the scriptures, I want to encourage you, it is manna. It is manna. Often people thought when Jesus would teach, it was just like, they would hear stuff and they're like, man, it sounds like so milk. Everything that Jesus brought was manna. Let the little children come to me. Oh, it's manna. Guys, you have been given the greatest gift. You are alive. And you're not only alive, you're alive in Jesus Christ. You're alive in God. There will be a day in your life where you'll blink your eyes for the last time here and open up that next blink. And there He is. And you will see Him as He is. And you will be known as you are fully known. One blink of an eye, that quick. But you're still blinking here. Just give me three blinks. You're still alive. You're still here, guys. Let's go. Guys, you've been given the greatest gift of all time, the true bread of heaven, the fruit that will remain, the unsearchable treasures of eternal life. The profoundness of profoundness of profoundness God has given you. And you know what it is? It's Jesus. What's the second one is? Love. And the last thing? Family. So guys, build your lives. Build your dreams. Build this church. Give your life. Spend your time. Give everything to this relationship. Give the world that which you have. Grow in knowing this. Grow in sowing this. Grow in discipling this. Grow in intimately giving thanks to the Lord in every breath and every moment of every day. Because you have Jesus. You have His love. And you have His family. Amen? All right, guys, let's stand up and let's just pray it out. Come on. Yeah. I'm so thankful that you know Him. I'm so thankful that you know His love. And I thank you. I'm just so thankful. I feel like God was showing me that He was, if our heart and our mind had buttons, He was like putting in new program codes for us to get back in sync with the priority of our life. If I had my sons up here and my wife can come up real quick. Come here for Stephanie. She's amazing. Guys, not everyone might have a spouse or biological children. But when God talks about family, He talks about a spiritual one. The devil attacks a natural family to divide it, to twist it, to have it come and go. This family, God holds together. And it will never fade away. You are the family that is worth everything to God. And so I pray that with Jesus, in His love, you guys would love one another as family. Amen? And I'm so thankful that God has given me this daughter and my family to be a picture of what eternity looks like. But what God wants for every one of us here and now. We wake up every day in Jesus. We wake up every day for love. And we wake up every day for this family. Amen. Thanks, babe. Thanks. Father, we thank You. We thank you for the treasures of eternal life. It's you, Jesus. It's you, love. It's your family. I think I've said it enough that everyone will remember it for the rest of their lives. And I pray that it's not just the teaching we'll remember, but it's a gift that we will open up at each and every breath and every step of every day from morning to night. That we'll look back on our lives all day long and not only see your goodness and mercy, but we'll have seen Jesus, we'll have seen your love, and we'll have seen our family, the spiritual family and biological family that you loved and love so well. So Lord, I commission everybody. I commission these sons and daughters, these fathers and mothers within the family of God to lay down their lives to one another in love. And that together they might go on the adventure and the journey of Jesus. And reaching out into the darkness, into an orphan world and planet. And taking people out of orphanhood, out of homelessness, into a family as beloved sons and daughters that you love. So Lord, I commission everybody right now for the rest of our lives to live in Jesus, to be in love, and to live for this family. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Can we hear for the Lord, guys? Yeah. It was an honor to be here.